You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To connect to our always on and always streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. To listen to the live stream, go to fake11.com/radio2. Now, on with the audio chat.
Is claustrophobic from severe economic form, and you're listening to a brief discuss with Ike and possibly Frank the short guy on the various subjects, and I will scuttle off down to my little black helicopter and fly off on the 27th, I think, of August, AUKUSTT, and I will maybe perhaps talk to you later. A-L-A-D-O-R. Thank you very much. Thank you, the head of the World Economic Forum, the glorious leader, Klaus Schwab. Has anyone made what about Klaus Barbie? There's been a Barbie movie. Klaus Barbie. Was there a Barbie with the Klaus? That could be a new thing. They could make a little doll of Klaus and named after the butcher of Leon, the supposed butcher of Leon, Klaus Barbie. There you go. Frank, is that you?
Ni hao.
Yeah. Ni hao.
And, oh, well, we've got right on time. Right on time.
You must have went to bed, do you?
Waiting for you.
Yeah, no, I said I would. I messaged Frank earlier and I said, are you about? And yes, he is.
Always
is
good to hear Frank. Ni hao.
Ni hao. Oh, Genki Deska.
Frank, have you recovered? Have you recovered from the dreaded loogie?
No.
So that's a month. I had it for a month too.
I reckon it's more. I'm blaming it on my wife getting a jab before she went away.
Yeah, that's what I. But that was my excuse for it.
She got one of those jabs, booster or some crappy thing.
Frank, do you know what they called? Can I tell you the bad news? What they called? They called a spike jab. Spike vax. It's called spike vax. You go to the chemist, and they've got the advert of what the latest one is, and it's called spike vax.
Oh.
And it's got all the warnings of all the things. What do you reckon?
Well, that's the famous spike protein.
Yeah, I guess I'm not a believer in any of that stuff. I just think it ends up poisoning you somehow.
Yeah, me too. Anyhow on that.
That's what I think has happened, Rick, and I will find out when my wife comes back. I'll say, did you get a jab before you went?
It's amazing that you can be I'm single, as you know, for very good reason. And that's not the fact that I'm extremely annoying and possibly.
Be told.
But because I'm a conspiracy theorist and I've got unusual views. That was what I was told.
And I've got them as well. So imagine the ruckus that's going to break out when I ask my wife, did you get a jab before you went away?
Oh, my God. Well, that's why, look, you've been together for, I'm going to hazard a guess, 30-something years. Is it 40 years?
We have 40 years. Known each other for 47 years.
That's number 11 right on there. Dave J will be ticking that box.
Then you should know she has a jab. You should know then if she had a jab or not. You should just know that implicitly.
I do. You're correct.
Yeah, you must know.
Frank,
I wouldn't have raised. I wouldn't have raised it if I didn't know.
Frank, I was sick as the proverbial dog from the Christmas Day right through till at least past February into March, where I was feeling absolutely sick as a dog. And my only excuse would be I got shedded on. Because I'm
not into shedding, by the
every
way.
Symptom. Well, you may not be, but you haven't been sick for 5 weeks yet. Wait till you get that one.
No.
And the last time
a member of your family.
And the last time I got sick, right, was when in Easter 2021, when I went into a picnic with people that had just been jabbed.
Funny that. Funny that. I just have to read this thing that I said I was going to read. It's very interesting. But while I've got light, because I'll tell you one of the reasons why I don't do a lot of what I say I'm going to do is because I sit outside and it's dark. And I just want to read this very interesting part of the. I should get one of those lights that you put on your head, like the doctors used to wear.
Yes, I have.
But this is really interesting. This is a really interesting thing that stood out a mile when I read the H.G. Wells book by Michael Foote, the Right Honourable. That's his claim. I would say not. And it's not a hit. It's a very complimentary book, you know. Like, and he is a politician.
The Right Honourable. So he was the Prime Minister.
Yeah, Michael Foote. He was a very high level politician in England, though. Michael Foote.
Then I don't think you're only the Right Honourable if you're. You're only honourable. Well, honourable goes to the cabinet members.
I think the Right Honourable means you're a member of Parliament.
Yeah.
No.
Not in England, they're more pompous. System. They're more pompous in England, Ab. Let me tell you now. I just have to read this little bit. It's not much. It says, and one particular friend, R.A. Gregory, who of course was. The most familiar with H.G. Wells' Swiftian interest. So H.G. Wells was a
Swiftian
student. This is Lord Jonathan Swift, who wrote Gulliver's Travels. And they both had equal predictions in their books. But this one of Swift's is really out there because he added a particular touch which clinched the association more exactly than ever before. A remarkable case of the fulfillment of fiction into reality is furnished by the history of the satellites of Mars. When Dean Swift, and he was a dean of Oxford University, when he wrote Gulliver's Travels in 1726, that was a long time before, he was around 150 years before H.G. Wells. He made astronomers on the island of Laputa, that's where the book Gulliver's Travels was based, not only observed two satellites on Mars, but caused many of those to move around the planet in less time than the planet itself takes to rotate on its axis. As every student of astronomy knows, satellites were not discovered for 150 years later. So he knew about these Phobos and Deimos and was writing about them 150 years before anyone knew about them. And one of them actually does revolve around Mars three times while the planet makes its rotation. The coincidence is remarkable. Now, that can't be remarkable. He had inside knowledge of detailed planetary movements way before it was published. So
I call that imagination.
Yeah, but to get it mathematically accurate, to have two satellites flying around, they had no satellite back. Sorry, I know the ancients, the Hindu, going back to the ancient Iran and Iraq and those areas, they had detailed knowledge of these things, but England didn't. So clearly, Swift was getting that information from the guys that formed the Royal Institute of the science guys, that went over and pilfered all the information from India and Iran and came back and wrote it into their own theory of gravity and et cetera.
Copied it.
But he put it in his book. So it's predictive programming way back 1729 when that book came out. Exactly the same. So either they are making this stuff up or it really...
Yes, they are.
Obviously the ancients did know stuff. But if you've done any astronomy with a high-level astronomer, yes, there are definitely two little things flitting about Mars, and you can see them with those great big giant telescopes. I do believe. But I thought it was really interesting how Swift's had this inside knowledge and put
it's
it
interesting
in
that you talk about that, Rick, because I watched a video from a young woman called... It'll come to me shortly. And she has explained the whole Royal Society gig from start to finish.
Yeah.
You know, from Erasmus Darwin, Jonathan
Swift. I'll post a link.
Yeah, I will, yeah. It was...
It's interesting how much Swift... I know he was a nasty person that was, you know, a very high member of Parliament and when the Irish potato famine was going down. And I mentioned it last night. You know, he was saying nasty things about the Catholics.
You mean the food confiscation period?
Food confiscation period, where they went in there under a police operation, a military police operation, stopped the farmers. Yeah, they stopped the farmers. They disarmed the farmers. That's
food.
The first thing they did.
They took their
food. Yeah, did the same to the Indians and caused a massive famine. Same time.
Yeah.
This is going to happen here. Ab, I have to say, the same thing's going to happen again and again and again. They'll confiscate crops if they have got an excuse of nuclear contamination. That's my
theory. Well, they already are with their fake flus. You know, they'll go in and wipe out a bird.
I just want to remind people in Australia, because I collected these stats in 1990, there used to be 50 deaths from influenza in Australia in the 1990s per year, and now there are 1,500 since the jabs came in.
Mm. What a coincidence. Yeah.
So I posted a link to that video in the chat.
Fantastic.
It's actually, the show-related
it's actually
notes.
Excellent. Show-related notes, that's right. 47 minutes, and she explains how it's just straight-out cabalism.
It is, yeah, for sure. Yep. What's so they went over there. Cabalism.
Well, cabalism is the Jewish tradition Kabbalism. That man can perfect himself. You know, that we are, we're moving towards perfection, the golem and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and it's the great leap forward and doing the right thing. It's, you know, the idea, the 1,000 points of light, the same stuff that they're still regurgitating on media to this day. But what goes around comes around. They keep repeating the same cycles, and they know that their techniques that they used in 1700s, the corn laws, you know, by Lord Rothschild to stop the farm, you know, importing cheap grains and corns, which destroyed the farmers, and a perfect time to have those farmers forced into the cities to work in the factories that they were setting up 50 years later. And the same thing happened in America with the Grapes of Wrath era, Grapes of Wrath, or whatever that movie about the dustification of the farming areas and all the people were forced into. California, where all those military factories were ready to go.
That sounds right.
50 years later. John Adams did all that, and I have to shout him out. He really did expose the founding of California back in his drive.
The aerospace,
afternoon commutes. Mm, aerospace, So same things are happening all the time, and you can see this happening now. And at the moment, we've got bee issues. This mite thing has crept all the way up to where I am, and they're about to start destroying colonies of bees. And I'm proudly full of bees here. I've got bees in lavender, bees in my cherry tree, bees in my clover. But these poor little bees are likely to get sprayed soon. And
be told.
They'll blame
be
us.
Be told.
Yeah. Be told. What a coincidence. Be told. Very good. Spot on.
Well, that was a good read, Rick.
That little,
good read. Yep. Good
well,
read.
There's a whole lot more in there, but, you know, it's that's why I kind of I say I'm going to do it, but the best time I can do stuff is when I've got no kids around and early in the evenings and it's light on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I may go through, and there's a lot of stuff in this book, and I've only got in the 200 pages, but I've been highlighting things and putting stars.
Did you ever get a hold of John Adams?
Never, no. I did speak to him just before we left, sadly. Oh, okay. And I think I was talking to him with Gaia one night. I mean, I'm a big, huge fan of those afternoon commutes.
Yeah, they were good. He read a lot of books. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this, and Wayne McCroy is holding the banner high, reading the books. And do yourself a favor, Ab, put that as one of your regular shows, because you can drive and let someone else read the book for you and make little comments about it, which I really love. I don't need to read the book. I can listen to someone else read the book. Oh. Frank, so describe your symptoms. Is it up the nose? Because that's what I was. It was up
the
nose.
No, it's just a gurgling in the chest, a kind of a pneumonia.
Okay, yeah. And, that's what to me, the nearest thing I could equate what I had was when I had pneumonia when I was 31, and I was super fit. I was, really fit, and I got hospitalized with pneumonia, and bacterial pneumonia, so it was catchable, apparently. And I felt the same feeling of just, I can't get out of bed. I just wanted to be bedridden.
Well, actually having any effect on my life at all, really.
Oh, that's good.
I'm even able to go karaoke singing. So, but it is annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all.
Annoying. Well, what can you do? You've tried every, you've fasted.
I haven't tried anything. I fasted, yeah. And
that's
I've
all
been
you need
told,
to do, really.
So I've ordered some black cumin cold press oil on Beachy's recommendation.
The internet. Yeah, that's good stuff. And, I just added cumin. I just made a meal. With
somebody else sent you some advice too, I
listen
think.
Listen to Frank and Ab. Rick, Frank and Ab. I'm on the ashes.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to Rick, Frank and Ab on the 27th of August, 2023. And we're just discussing Frank's Lurgy. Frank's Lurgy. Very interesting to hear, though. I like... As a hypochondriac, twice removed, three times, with bar and honours. I honestly, though, I was so sick. And I spoke to Marcus Allen, who said he'd had the same unshakable thing.
Recently?
And critical sinker. No, same. He had it in December, I think. And he said to me, it's out of this world how sick he was. Yeah, I mean, he was concerned, because he had the same things that I was whinging about. Critical sinker, same thing. A number of people got absolutely smashed with that's the best way to call it, a lurgy from hell. The lurgy was created by Spike Milligan, the words lurgy, the dreaded lurgy. It was from the Goon Show. I don't know what it was, but let me just tell you now, I was... absolutely sick as a dog. And Frank sounded terrible the other night when I was listening to him, and I thought, I felt that way. And I think I was recorded talking like the same chesty, nasally, coffee kind of thing. So
I just really dislike being unwell, Rick. That's all.
So do I.
I can't say to you this is disabling. It's not stopping me from sleeping. It isn't stopping me, going to patch salt. It's just annoying.
I had to go and work pouring cocktails in the busiest cafe in the area. And I remember every night I walked in there, I said to the guy, I shouldn't be here because I'm just absolutely sick as a dog, but I had to do it because I'd said I'd do it and I'd promised I'd help out. And he wasn't paying any of his staff apart from me, so, you know, he needed me.
This is a guy that eventually went bust anyway.
$850,000.
That's a lot, isn't it?
$400,000 to the tax department, $450,000 to suppliers and staff.
Wow.
And a very small beachside community. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, speaking of which, it's a good effort to go broke
after making so much profit that you owe someone $450,000.
Well, you know what he was doing? He was funneling all the money into his superannuation, which apparently you cannot touch legally. So he did that. He boosted his super because apparently he'd done the same trick before in Sydney.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, he's a good member of the Catholic Church, a very good member of the Catholic Church. And he's from Sicily, so he's got that.
So he did everything the
Sicilian
legally.
Code. Yeah, he knew what he was doing. And anyway, I just drove past. I visited the gym tonight. And I spotted Moon Harvest, the fantastic. I took my son in there and we had the best brew chai this morning that you can possibly get on the planet. And I spotted him. He was sitting at the pub. You can spot him a mile off. And you went to that pub, Frank, and met the great Moon Harvest. A man who can tell you if Saturn's in Uranus, which is an incredibly painful medical condition. Be told, and pour you a decent coffee.
I told you that my wife thought he was a very charming man, by the way.
Yeah, he is. And it's just wonderful that there's a good stepping, you know, there's other people down there that stepping up to the plate because he's, I think he's 32. I don't know if he's 33 yet, but he's in the early years of his life. And always wonderful. So I can go in there and have this, you know, walk in there and we start talking about stuff, you know, and he's, it's just fantastic. I love to have communication with real people, you know, and have particularly the kind of things that I like talking about because there's not many people that can deal with a guy that comes in putting secret handshakes and walking in with his leg. I'll pull my, you know, one of my legs up to, you know, doing a clear secret Masonic walk into a cafe, but he and he does his, you know, a signal to me. It's and other people in the
from
cafe,
the Ministry of Silly Walks.
And it's good to hear because his father is 70, I think, or maybe over, but he'd educated Matt into British humour, and so good TV shows and. So he's got a great sense of humour, and plus he knows his stuff. So it's a credit to the community to have a barista that can converse with someone like myself and pour me the which oh, I am a coffee Nazi of the highest magnitude. I'm fairly fussy about what I get, but I'm always happy to go and see him. And it was wonderful that you caught up with him with your wife. I think that's awesome. He's just ordered online Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, the original plates.
Oh, right, because I've got a PDF of that book.
Yeah. Well, I actually had the book back in 1982 or 3. Too big for me. I mean, I flicked through and I got the gist of what he was up to, but nowadays, yeah, I could read it. And yes, I when I'm on the train, stuck in the train for 6 hours, I unpack my bag, pick a book and sit there and just go right through it. And then I take notes and I underline words and bits and pieces, put stars above pages. It's something I couldn't have done when I was younger, but I can certainly do it now. So yeah. So how's the salt business going? Is it as lucrative as it was last time I asked you?
It's
fantastic.
Multiplying. It's some kind of astonishing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Some kind of. I'm very grateful.
Have you been playing squash?
I praise the Lord.
Well, I would give credit to he above. And yeah. I'll tell you the funny thing. I was driving along on Sunday last week after listening to your show with on Folkologist, and guess what came on the local community radio? But nun singing the Lord's Prayer.
Hey.
And,
oh,
did
wow.
you know she charted in America? Yeah,
yes,
Janet Mead.
We talked about
Sister
her.
Janet. She charted
her,
that
Frank,
song in America.
Mm. And she hated it. She was not happy about it.
Yes, that means she's genuine. She's genuine. So fantastic.
Like
yeah, it came on the radio. Yeah, look, I haven't got into that, found that PDF or whatever that thing yet, but I'm going to definitely read that book, Ab. On Sinead. What a talent.
Or listen
what
to it. Talent.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. So is it on Audible?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. Then I shall partake.
It's been out for a couple of years. Rememberings.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why she was so controversial, because she didn't hold back with her views.
No, she did
and
not.
Her,
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Which is wonderful. There's not enough people that are prepared to say stuff, particularly what she was saying about Prince, which is very interesting.
I thought it was more against the church.
The former Prince.
The former Prince,
yeah.
The ex-prince.
I thought what she said against the church was way more significant and bothered more people.
Especially living in Ireland, one of the most Catholic heavy strongholds on the planet, where it used to be. It probably isn't anymore. They are flooding Ireland with non-religious types. Well, sorry, non-Catholic types faster than anything else.
Catholics, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw the Katie. Is it Katie? Katie, what's her name? She looked... Now, sadly, to the EGI types, Katie Price is... No, it's Katie someone. And she does YouTubes. She's got no makeup on. She does actually look very masculine. So you know, obviously the EGI types suggest she's a Katie. I'll send it to you anyway. She's been censored off the planet. She's a female English comedian, talker, thinker, and she's saying that they are stopping any venue that she's trying to book. They are coming out, attacking the venue, threatening them with legal action and having protests out the front. And she's actually, I think she's really good. She's quite funny. But she's saying that in England, any hotel or motel, I think they have motels in England as well, I assume. But they're being offered by the government huge sums of money to relocate the new refugees coming from illegal and legal into these hotels, and they're getting paid. This one small boutique hotel called the Savoy in a little town in England was offered £300,000 more than they were making a year to fill it up with people coming illegally through the English Channel, over the English Channel, wow. Under the English Channel. Mm. So that's what's going to happen. They are flooding England. This is weapons of mass migration, that book that came out 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's happening right now. It really is happening. They are flooding every country in the West with as many people from countries that probably don't necessarily agree with our way of life in some ways.
What is our way of life?
I wouldn't go that far. I would say that. I think once they get here and find out how woke things are, a lot of them want to go back. Once they get a bit of money.
Yeah.
So I don't agree with our way of life either.
That's right. Well, can you imagine being a Muslim and having your kids being forced to send to a public school and there's a
They're
forcing
here.
Sex education. Yeah. So good. Maybe it will backfire. I don't know. No one does.
Well, I hope so. Our crime sinister called the Muslims right-wing extremists. That didn't go over well.
Did he now?
Yeah, because they were against Soji. Soji is...
Yeah, it's what about the...
It's an act, yeah.
The Indians are really family-centric, and I'm talking about from Hindu to...
Yes, they are.
Their major religions. They're not into having a transvestite or a transsexual come into their school and deport themselves and read books to their children. They won't put
I
up
with it. I agree with that. Well, they're quiet, so, though. Quiet. The Muslims, there's supposed to be a big march on our capital next month from led by a Muslim against all this crap.
Well, that's good.
Do you have a link to that app?
I do not. If you just type in million person march, Ottawa, September.
As Ottawa's your OG, capital, maybe. Isn't it?
It is.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
It is.
And how far is Ottawa from where you live?
4 hours.
Okay, so Canberra is the same for me. 4 hours. Or 3 hours, actually. We're in Sydney. It's 3 hours from Sydney. But
okay, it popped up very easily. I'll put a link.
Okay.
Fantastic thing.
What is it called?
You're doing good work, be told.
It's called Canadian Muslims Invite Everyone to Join Million Person March Against LGBT Indoctrination in Schools.
Awesome. Look, I have to say that's fantastic. I talked last night about the colour, though. This is part of the transformation into the new era that we're entering into, that they want us to go into. And this luminous purple and blues and diversity flag is part of it. It's part of a change into a new society that, you know, that we're going into. The new open society, by coincidence, the name of that nasty little man is the open society.
Yuval Harari?
No. Oh, my God. I mean, can that guy get any nastier or evil, Mr. Harari?
He's
really out there. He is. Now, Jay Dyer did a YouTube or a podcast last week just quoting. It's basically, he's just gone through and got all the links of Schwab, Kissinger, Harari, everyone that said bad things, and put them all together, which is a really good collection of in their own words, the global elite in their own words show. I highly recommend you stick that one on your PsychoTube, because he's got everything, and a lot of them are things that have been removed now that you cannot find them on the internet. Particularly Klaus Schwab's first, you know, you'll own nothing and be happy. That's been scrubbed. The original World Economic Forum.
I think I explained or slightly debunked the whole phrase. That really wasn't his.
I've got that link as well. The global elite in their own words, Jay Dyer.
Yeah.
Good for you, Frank. You're really doing the research.
Show related tonight.
Fantastic. I really enjoyed it, even though I've heard most of them before. But I like the fact that he's put them all in one greatest hits, one after the other. And he just says, and that's Harari is probably one of the most prominent clips of Harari, the things that he said on that show. So, yeah, fantastic, Frank. Thank you for doing that. 10 out of 10.
I'm here to serve, Rick.
I'm just drinking Guinness.
I use that phrase too. It's a good one.
Yeah. Here to serve. I love
that phrase. It's funny.
Yeah, to serve man. What was that fantastic episode of The Twilight Zone? One of the best episodes ever. And it's the double meaning of the word to serve man. And this aliens come and take over the planet and
offer to take
everyone back. It's a recipe.
Like Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny, come over for dinner. What's for dinner?
Yeah. Who the Martian?
It was Marvin the Martian. Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, but there's really good stuff out there. That kind of collates everything, and I reckon there is a lot of people waking up at the moment. That's why they're throwing so much scatter and good information that's pushing people down rabbit holes and keeping them from being cohesive right now. Because there are people going, hang on a minute, we're not going back into lockdowns, surely to God. Because, you know, every one of our fines was thrown out by the legal services.
Every one of them.
The whole damned lot. So who's going to, as far as I'm concerned, I can see more people donning masks right now. And I'm talking about the idiots out there, not the smart people. But it's certainly, they're trying to rev something up as fast as they can do it. What do they know?
I think your nuclear idea is the likely next one.
Yeah, I think so too. And Moon Harvest was on the money. He said, because I hadn't kind of, I thought, you know, the poison mushroom thing was interesting. But yeah, it feeds straight into the narrative of Carl Jung, subconscious, you know, putting a story about poison mushrooms, release a movie about mushroom cloud bombs, Oppenheimer, and then have that giant story last week on the news in Sydney with the nuclear radiation squad going out to, they've heard that there was someone had been found with nuclear radiation isotopes in his house. Something obviously is cut on its way. You're after listening to Rick Franklin. Hey,
would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
It's the 27th of August, 2023, and you've got the main long stayers on Fakeologist.com, Frank, Rick, and Ab, the creator of Fakeologist.com. Be told.
Just 1,300 audio chats.
I received by email.
Really?
A WAV file from Hans Alf. 99. It's a promotion using, he says, ChatGPT or AI of the website and what it is to be a fakeologist.
Let's hear it.
Now, so how do I get it played?
Well, good
so
question.
I'll post it in here,
Ab. Yeah, if you post it in there, then you might get a link. Maybe copy the link to it and use AIODE to play it.
Okay, so in show related notes is the waveform.
Okay.
I wonder if I can put it in the live stream.
Well, now you have a link to it that's in the cloud. So copy the link to the WAV file that's within Discord and play it with AIODE.
So how do I get the link? Copy link.
Well, you should right click on that.
Oh, yeah. Copy message link. Okay. Play IOD.
Yeah, that might work. So just you type in @AIOD space and paste the link and see if that works. That's what I would do. I'm not guaranteeing that.
IOD. So.
Yeah.
@AIOD, then what?
And then paste the link you just copied.
Okay. And see what happens. Are you getting it?
I hear nothing.
Okay.
I hear nothing. I know nothing. I know nothing.
Are you hearing it?
I can hear it because I'm playing it from show-related notes.
Yeah, but you can't. You got
to. You've got to get through. So @AIOD. And then the link.
And then paste the link.
But I don't have to put play or anything.
No, I don't think you have to use the word play.
Okay. So, Brian, if you're listening, even though it's a godforsaken time of the morning for you, if you can hear me, in show-related notes, there's a WAV file. We would love to play.
What happens when you type that in, @AIOD, and put the link? Nothing?
Well, it seems to do something, but AIOD, and I put the link in show-related notes.
Oh, sorry, it's A. Well, just type in @ and A. Start typing. You should see it pop up. I think I got the letters wrong.
AIODE. Okay, I'll try that.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Nothing, huh?
Anyway, there it is. You can see it in show related notes, the WAV file. The MP3, I should say.
Fantastic. That's good enough. If anyone's listening, whenever, we can just go into the Discord show-related notes and see what the wonderful Frankly Salt Man.
No, this is from Han South.
So spell that. Can you spell that?
Hans, H-A-N-S. A-U-F-F.
H-A-N-S.
H-A, Hans. You know, like German Hans. Hans. Hansel and Gretel.
Yep. Hans Alf. Hans. Yep. A-U-F. Okay. I'm suffering from Ludditism of the highest magnitude, so, and this doesn't happen with me, but last week, Ab shared a YouTube, and it played perfectly, so it can be done.
Yeah, it's just, I just don't know how to do it when it's in Discord, in a message there. I don't know. I've never tried it. There is a help for AOIDE somewhere.
One of my streaming podcast apps that I use for most of my stuff, it's not Podbean, it's another one.
Use Podcast Addict.
It is Podcast Addict, and it's not letting me update Fakeologist shows whatsoever. It just says 404. Haven't heard.
No, I know. You've got to take. Can you edit the? What you should do is edit the URL, if you know how to do that, and take the word blog out. I changed it, but it should have rerouted. Right. But it obviously did not. Or unsubscribe and then go look it up again in the directory with the new URL. I just changed one word. I'm surprised it's not working because it should have rerouted.
I get is, I got alerts on every, I actually had
six different fakeologist URLs, I guess, on my server thing, and it just has alert.
But signs are you getting the new shows? Are they showing up? The new
yeah,
shows?
I do. Yeah, but not on Podbean. I do, not on.
Oh, that's the
Podomatic.
Well, I've got something called My Podcasts, and it just works fine.
Yeah, maybe,
I think it's certain ones are fine, but there's definitely an issue with the one I'm on.
And Meet Ricky G popped up straight away. That was one of the latest ones.
Yeah, I've got that on Podbean.
And on the other, and I've actually got two different channels. And the latest one on other one is the one with you and I, Tim, on the 24th of August.
Yeah, that's the last one.
Yeah. So I don't know what my program is just called My Podcast. My Podcast.
Mm, sounds good. Yeah, there's an awful lot of podcast servers out there. There's no doubt about that.
It's a big thing. They want to censor them too. That's the latest, the ADL, the United States. They're going on and on about, oh, they're so dangerous. You could learn something.
Yeah.
Well, there is a...
You might hear a contrary view.
There was legislation put out here, or being promoted here, and there's been a howling number of people that have written in to stop this legislation, protesting this legislation. And it turns out...
The misinformation.
It turns out that the main protagonist pushing the legislation is the consortium of banks in Australia.
What a coincidence, Frank. And who would be controlling them, I wonder?
You think the banks want to control everything?
You think that, wouldn't you? Yeah, it's crazy conspiracy talk, I know.
It is crazy conspiracy talk, but there may be a there, sadly.
Why do the banks care about podcasts?
Well, the main reason is because people are saying that house prices in Australia is strictly, it's a money laundering operation. And there's so many houses empty here, and yet the government is talking about spending a fortune to build more houses. And, of course, all the actions that they take are inflationary. Then they've also got this idea of where the government becomes a partner in your house purchase to 40%. And, of course, that's going to keep the prices of houses inflated. The only way to drop prices down is to increase supply of cheap housing, which was what was done when I first came.
But who's going to build that? The builders already... The condo builders in Toronto are already slowing down. They said, we can't make money, so we're not doing it. So the builders are already withdrawing.
Yes, but they're not building. They wouldn't necessarily slow down if the government was providing the land and then paying for the condos to be built.
Mm.
Yeah. So then they're going to be built at 10 times the cost and...
No. But what's happening now is that with the government effectively saying we will bankroll you to 40%, then that completely takes a limit off the amount of money people are going to pay for their houses. That is super inflationary.
Right. Yeah, I see.
The only way to hold prices down is to provide housing at lower prices than the current prices.
Well, how are you going to do that? You got to print money? I mean, it's a vicious circle.
Well, they print money anyway, Ed.
I don't think that's going to work, but who knows?
Hang on, I need to say to you, Ab, that what I've just suggested has been used as a policy in this country. It was used for 40 years from the end of World War II to... say 1975, and it worked perfectly. House prices in Australia were dirt cheap.
Yeah. Well, that's no guarantee it's going to work now. There's a lot of differences in how the world works. Would you agree with that?
Oh, caller in her.
What is a fakeologist?
Oh, you've done it.
Breaking the media spell.
Not me.
Wild Times did it.
In practicing the martial arts, we know that our effectiveness increases through redirecting the energy of our opponent and making it work for us. This same process applies when the contest turns to our use of language. We know that a true state of tyranny exists when we allow others to run our verbal life for us. To control our words is to control our thoughts, is to control our behavior. Are you tired of being labeled a conspiracy theorist and defending yourself instead of discussing the issues? Do you want to finally stop reacting to a weaponized control system label? Today, we can change that. Introducing a game-changing upgrade of an old conspiracy meme, not created by bureaucratic diktat, but by one of our own, Aberado. What is a fakeologist? Fakeologists collect information through meticulous research, using reasoning and thoughtful collaboration to determine truth. Utilizing unconventional insight and focus, they propose that media events are considered fake until proven otherwise. The way it was. Our most recent point of reference for the outmoded conspiracy theorist meme occurred on November 10, 2001, when we experienced a semantic sea change originating from halls of the United Nations.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th. Malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty.
In that session, the 60s term conspiracy theorist was thrust upon the world, framing the international context for the use of the term and defining its official meaning. For the past 22 years, many people have felt verbally stifled, experiencing that meme as a potent interrupter which, indeed, has shut down countless conversations. The old meme remains very powerful. Many report it seems to interrupt the flow of energy between the mind and the heart, creating confusion and defensiveness. People confirm they can be comfortably involved in a discussion, but when accused of being a conspiracy theorist, they stumble and lose their train of thought. Frustrated and sidetracked by a self-censoring, they lacked a real-time resource for an effective comeback. Until now. Today, we can install the fakeologist meme and share it universally. We can determine meaning of events based on our own frame of reference, information, and approach, not on an externally imposed definition. You may have heard of the term, 5 W's, an investigative formula often mentioned in journalism news style, research, and police probes. It is based on questions that include who, what, when, where, why, and how. Fakeologists also make use of this tool, but only after their number one default question. Did the reported event actually happen or not? In our personal lives, many were taught not to jump to conclusions about situations and people, yet few were taught to apply the same filter to the media, authority, and world events. Fakeology can serve as a knee-jerk deactivator, a stabilizing force for balance and detachment, no matter the situation. The way it is. We know that developing a new way of thinking takes practice and determination to make it stick. Adopting this upgrade can inspire us in digging deeper and expressing opinions and facts with confidence and clarity, due to our expanded perception. In so doing, we can create and maintain intelligent dialogue about controversial issues and shift the tide of language to empower the facts. Now, when labeled a conspiracy theorist, we can reply resourcefully using our new moniker in pursuit of truth. Try it and see how quickly it empowers you. Fakeologist? Sure, let's talk.
See, I mean, that's fairly clever and fairly insightful. If that's
written by Hands Off. Narrated by Stefan AI.
That's clever.
And all you have to do is to be able to live up to that ideal, which I don't think we can, but, you know.
That was great.
It was great.
Mm. Thank you, Brian.
That's definitely ChatGPT doing that kind of stuff.
Someone sat there and gone. If you listen to him, he said that. He wrote the script, but he had it read by an AI.
Yeah,
that was great. That was really good. Who did that?
Hands off.
So notice Hans he's used hand, it's like Hans and off, like AUF, which is another German word.
Wonder why I've never heard of the guy before.
He probably doesn't exist. It's a pseudonym.
He sent me an email calling himself Hands Off. Well, he actually calls himself Hands Off at the end of that thing.
Yeah, but it's a very clever pun. That's what I like Hands Off is, you know. Like,
and a thousand thanks to Brian for playing that.
Yeah. Maybe Brian can tell us how he did it.
He's telling you. He's put it there.
Well, it wasn't quite as
simple
as
you think. Did he put it on YouTube?
It wasn't quite as simple as you think. How are you guys doing?
I'm better now. Now that you've done that. That was great, Brian. Thank you.
Cool. So I converted it.
Otherwise, we were looking like a collection of over 60s imbeciles.
Imagine that.
So go ahead, tell us.
I converted it into an MP4, I think, or MP4, and that uploads to the YouTube. Uploaded it to my YouTube. It happened really fast, and then I used the bot to play it. And I put in the chat where you have to play it. You have to play it in this chat. I put the instructions on how to do it. It's /play YouTube. You select true, and then it's input, and then you paste it.
That's a lot.
And blame
of stuff.
Me, Dan. It works.
You gotta press a few buttons.
And well timed.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Peaches from San Antonio, Texas, coming at you live on Fakeologist.com.
Thank you, Peaches. On the 27th of August, 2023, you're listening to Rick Abb, Wild Times, and Frank the Salt Man. Be told. Wow. Live. Yeah, that was good. Fantastic. Good work. I can't do any of that. I mean, I'm literally just shaking my head, you know, like what you have to do to get something. Because Frank's pretty good with computers. But he couldn't do it. So good move, Brian. Be told.
Yeah, no problem. I could have done it from my iPhone. I did all that from the iPad. I have a converter program. Just hit convert, upload, and then /play. You go into the cursor thing. It'll select true, input, and then paste. It took a few buttons, but no big deal.
How old are you, roughly? You don't need to say the exact age.
I'm 43.
Okay, well, you've obviously got a lot more computer savvy than the average person, be told.
I've grown up making my own computers from kits and everything, so yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, my son, my youngest son, who's the only one I'm looking after tonight, he could have done that if I'd gone in there and begged him, but it would have taken a lot longer than what you just did. So fantastic. I thought it was impressive. If ChatGPT can come out with a Fakeologist, what would you call it? A diorama of what Fakeologist is actually working with? It worked. It really was good.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
The script was written by hands. He just got it read.
Just his name, Hands Off. Hands Off is a fantastic creative name.
It's funny. Yeah. But Brian, there must be a way to play, because Fred Boat used to be able to play and upload an MP3 file into the Discord. I forgot how to do it, and now Fred Boat, I kicked it out of the server because it was not helping. But AIODE must be able to play an audio file as well that's uploaded, because every file that you upload has a link in the cloud. I just don't know how to get the link.
Yeah. Media Monarchy show that I listen to quite regularly, and Moon Harvest is now a paid subscriber to Media Monarchy, so there's another guy that's making money out of me. indirectly. He said that one of his guys on his channel found a bot that could play music, and it's probably the same one by the sound of it. Because they couldn't do it either. But all of a sudden they can. And so whatever it's called, and Wild Times obviously knows
AOD.
How to activate it. AOD, yeah. There'd be with the name AOD. I don't know what it is, but there'd be some clever acronym, I guess, for that name. So fantastic. Is there anything else we need to get played? Because Frank, if we've got the talents of Brian live, is there anything else we've got to get played?
That came from Hans yesterday, and I must
say, he mailed it to me at frank@fakeologist.com.
He thought I would be the easiest way to get it on to the show. And he was right. I'm the easy target.
I've got a couple of very interesting people contacting me. That obviously listen to the show and send incredible emails, you know, with all sorts of bits and pieces. So the recordfakeholders.com link certainly works if you're...
Easy.
And it works for me as well. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and lynn@fakeholders.com, highly recommend contacting her, because it's all working, and between the four, five, or six of us doing.
The wheels keep turning.
Yeah, they do. The wheels keep turning.
The IPS and, is coming on tonight, 8:30 p.m.
Eastern. Oh, really? Excellent.
Oh. Yeah, so I like to pilfer his audience. He has a big audience, so we always get a couple from him that come over. Ricky G. He's from Michigan. He moved to Mexico.
That was a great audio.
I saw Ricky J. Not Ricky G. Is it Ricky J?
No, it's G. G is a thing you can add in Hindu to your name. That shows respect. So I call you Rick G or Frank G. That's what you add when you show respect to someone.
Now, isn't it funny that the gangster rap call himself G's? What a coincidence. You know, and it mentioned
maybe that's
gangster.
What that is. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
oh,
maybe that
is. I know.
Yeah, I never thought of
that. There for sure. Hey, G, hey, gangster, that's part of their
Ebonics.
Yeah.
Isn't that Ebonics?
And G being, you only need to ask Dave J. How many things about G could he bring up? And the guy could do it.
We could call him Dave G.
Dave G, yep. Well, you could, and it would work. It would work. So,
but
yeah,
isn't that interesting? Stuff. Ricky G was saying he was traveling around India, in the South India, which is the poor area where the skin is much browner and darker. They're very dark in the south of India. They're all glued to the bones.
Untouchable.
Yes,
untouchable.
That's right. Yeah. They're glued to their phones. It just shows you people around the world are all the same.
In Africa, I think they still use their phone credit to trade with each other.
Okay. Yeah. I was on the train this morning. Yesterday morning, heading into Central to get onto the train home. And there would have been, the train was packed. It was packed with people and mainly Asian and mainly Indian, Asian, whatever. All of them were staring at their phones, the whole lot of them.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there looking.
It's amazing.
I was listening to you and Lynn talking, but I had it from plugged into my phone, into my ear, so I don't stare at my phone. I don't need to. But I was watching everyone on that train, and they were all on their smartphone getting their chatting.
You could be slaughtering a pig on the train, and no one would notice.
No, they wouldn't care or notice.
They would not see it. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and that's what. And in the future, when someone was saying, I was talking to someone. They said, "Oh, you know, this fake nuke thing," or, I mean, literally, they could do anything online, and people would be staring at their phone, seeing a giant kraken coming out of the water in New York, pulling down the Statue of Liberty, and they'd believe it and be watching it, even though, or it could be in Sydney, it could be anywhere, it could be right next to them. They're not looking at the real world. They're staring at their phone, getting there.
Well, most people watch live concerts through their phone.
Yeah,
because they're recording it.
And they do. And that, how sickening is it when you see people? Yeah, the huge. My daughter shared me. She just came out of Malta at the Glitch Festival, big giant electronic music festival, and she showed me some of the stuff that she was, you know, where she was standing from and watching, and the same people that are holding up their phones, pointing at a DJ, literally playing music off a Apple laptop, and they're all impressed by that. It's just incredible. You know, are people looking at what's actually really going on, or are they actually staring at their phone, getting their information? They're staring at their phone, getting their information. No arguments entered into. The real world is not being looked at by a certain generation. A huge amount of people are not looking at the real world.
To enter the world of media fakery and find your voice and others,
there is again.
All right, I just tried to do it, so it worked. You know, you have to do it in the chat that's connected to this live stream. And I went to the MP3 that Frank uploaded, and I, you know, held on it, and there's copy message link. I just hit play, space, and I pasted that Discord link, and it played.
Fantastic. Well, that's good, Ab, so we can have a lot more vibrant podcasts once people start learning how to use this. I'm not going to do it, but Frank will certainly be able to pick it up eventually. Surely to God. Are you there, Frank? Are you there? No, he's not. He may have had to go out and blow his nose, as you do if you've been shedded on. That's my theory. But thanks, Brian. That's awesome. Because Frank was asking, saying, "Can you please turn up and play this?"
Where did? How did you do that, Brian? Was I right? So you did. There is a link to the file that you uploaded.
Yeah. So I held on that message, and there's a copy message link.
Copy message link. Yeah, I don't think Frank did that. He tried.
Yeah, I did do that.
You also have to do it in this chat. You can't do it out in another place.
So you do it in the live stream, do you?
You do the live stream chat. I did /play and just one space, and I pasted the message link and it played. And then it gives me, I can see it, a pause button and fast forward, and that's why I stopped it.
Oh, I see what you did. Okay, yeah.
So I go in there?
I never go to the live stream chat. I'm always, that's the best place for it. Yeah, it's hidden behind the live stream, isn't it?
The chat. That's how you control the bot to come in here.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, good. That's wonderful.
So hang on. So how do I go in the live stream chat? Okay, that's what I can't see.
So if you're on, do you see all of our icons?
Yes.
If you tap the screen on mobile in the upper right hand corner, there's the people and then the chat icon.
Or you can swipe right.
Yeah, you can swipe to the left.
Yeah, that's right.
And so there's a chat icon next to the people icon, and that brings you to the chat.
There's a chat icon next to the people.
Are you on mobile or computer?
Yes.
Go to fakeologist.com.
So we can all play.
And I just say play. Is that right? Play the /play.
/play and then you paste the message link.
And you're linking to the show related notes channel, not to the actual message.
Oh, am I? Okay.
Yeah, so you need to go to the message that's holding that MP3. And let me just double check that everybody else has slash commands as well.
So the only one that can't have it is Rolo.
All right, I'm going to keep making my cup of coffee. I'll listen. I'm listening, though.
Yeah. That's so, a big help when we get this.
Not every status had application commands, but everybody here should have it now. Might have to do something more about singling stuff out in the future because it could get a little messy. But yeah, it should work for everybody now.
So they can upload the file to the live stream chat.
They can upload it anywhere on Discord. So they put it show-related notes, click on copy message link, just how you would link to any other singular message.
Yes.
And then play one space and paste that link to that message. That worked for me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
You have to type slash play or just the word play? Oh, don't you have to type in AIOD?
Nope. I did slash, and then I get a menu, and I click AOD. Yeah, the AOD bot has the first one that comes up.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, that's fantastic. So that should be pretty easy for people. Yeah, that's what I was hoping for, because what you did, convert it, upload it, that's a huge process. No one's going to do that.
No. Especially Luddites.
But they might.
And people
they might be able to do what you just said.
Well, I knew it would work. That's why I just did it before I even
came here. Yeah, you're right about what you said about Rollo, because Rollo has got a degree in computer science, and he will be able to figure that out quite easily if he was told.
Oh, I don't know. Not when he's drunk, though.
I spoke to him this morning. He contacted me finally, and he was at his ex's house watching baseball games, American baseball games, and he's not the same vodka sozzled Rollo as he was the last 3 years. He's a lot more smart. So if he got to the stage where he was, you know, able to
puking up blood,
do it, he'd be able to do it. He'd be able to do what Wild Times just informed us. It sounds quite easy. Even though I could possibly do it, but I'm not going to.
And don't worry, I can take Rollo's permission away to do that. No problem.
Is that Frank? Frank?
I'm glad we got that working. That's good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that was really good.
Let's hope we keep this bot. Let's hope this bot stays alive.
Yeah. When was the last time stakeholders got terminated? 3 weeks ago?
No, it's been months. That's because Brian is keeping a close guard on who gets in.
I don't think I have anything to do with it. I think that it will get terminated again at some point in the future just based on a timer. If we named it something else, we didn't go by the same monikers. And I'm going by Fakeologist, and it being called Fakeologist probably pings their radar by now. I'm not keeping a watch on anything closer than anybody else has ever done. What we see them do in the other platforms is if we're going to be persistent, they'll just put us on a timer, and as soon as it's like at maximum capacity, they'll kill it. Seems to be what they do to frustrate.
Yeah, that's what's happening with IPS, Infinite Plane. They're definitely getting a certain amount of people.
Because we have the infrastructure to bring it back. That's the thing, though. IPS is doing.
Yeah, same with the IPS gang. They're now back on Discord. And it's called South Park, I think it's called. I've got it on my...
He's using Gilded more, though. He said he's using Gilded.
He may well be. He may well be, but he's certainly using... Discord is certainly there with the South Pole site. I've been listening back to a lot of stuff I missed over the last 3 months because of how censored he got. And I listened to a show last night while I was in bed, And there was really good ringer-inners, phoner-inners, having some really good discussions. So it's still a highly recommended show.
I listen to it.
Yeah, you're gonna get. There's that much information, and it's getting filtered in by his team of regulars that are there.
Yeah, funneling. He was talking about the fake Trump mugshot, how it's got that Batman down look and all that crap.
Yeah,
you know that. Mm. I don't know. It's just it's so contrived.
You're not gonna. It is, but you're not going to see that on any other site. Maybe on Fakeologist, maybe. He's got a team of regulars.
Yeah, they're all good.
Yeah. It's his backup team. Mm. And these guys are filtering information and posting it in real time. So, and he has got this gift, which I suggest he's got a media training background. He's able to, you know, he's tapping the stuff up and it's going on. You know, you can actually watch the screen and it actually is showing Donald Trump's mugshot story, which is obviously a setup. But and he'll get off all the stuff and he'll come, there'll be a whatever they're going to do. And I suggest here it's going to be a fake nuke or a, they've already put the news story on. I mentioned it last night. China has stopped importing Japanese fish that are in the same. You're the Rick Ab. Well, Ab.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, there's some. You're listening to Rick Ab, Wild Times, and Frank, wherever he is.
I'm here.
On the
27th of August. Fear.
Good man. 27th of August, 2023.
We need another audio to play.
Yeah. What can we play? There must be something out there.
I don't have anything off the top of my head. You can play any fake or two. No.
Yeah. Yep.
All fake YouTube have an MP4 link.
So what did you think of Hans Elf's
very good
manifesto?
I liked it. Really good.
Do you think we can actually live up to that lofty ideal? Yes.
I think so.
I might have to play that to IBS's audience tonight. That was really good.
Mm. Well, you'll be able to do it now that you've got it on the...
It's on YouTube now, wow.
It certainly gives us something to aspire to, I think.
Well,
that's great content. Great content people create. That's really... We appreciate that a lot.
Well, this
people going out of their way to make content.
It could work against the narrative. You know, they're giving, like the internet, they didn't want the internet. There were so many people, if you actually go back and look into some of the elite writings, they didn't want the internet to actually come out because they thought there's going to be too many people waking up if we share this stuff. But they were also at the same time monitoring and realizing who these people were that were waking up. So it kind of it works both ways with the internet.
Well,
they could never ever have done the shutdown without the internet.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So you know, I think it's fairly obvious that it's working in their favor.
Yeah, but they give us nonsense to distract us from using it like we're using it now.
Yeah. And that's what I've been saying. You've got to watch out for this. I call it scatter. It's just throwing, like, there's a group of chickens eating dinner. One of them starts realizing that the next day is going to get slaughtered. So they throw a whole lot more corn.
Chicken feed. You used to call it chicken feed, Rick. Have you forgotten that?
It is chicken feed. Yeah, it is chicken feed, and they throw chicken feed to the masses, and knowing that a whole lot of them are all going to go, exactly like chickens do, running off to go and peck whatever is there.
Rather you are than the look one at that the brought chicken stuff. Feed to this forum. Mm.
You it was Les first. Luthor yeah. that Les Luthor was right.
Oh, was that?
Well, he, yeah, yeah, it was Les Luthor. And oh, shout out to him. Really good stuff. The stuff he did, yeah. Really good stuff. Particularly about the...
On Twitter. He's on Twitter, Les Luthor. Look him up.
Yeah. LezLuthor. Look it up. Good stuff. And it is chicken food.
He has shows with a fairly annoying woman and I can't listen to. But he just put another one for all his patrons. Yeah, you got to be a patron, which I don't like. So I'm a patron of his, and I can't listen to the woman he's talking to. She's just
you got called out in the comments before by someone in. Did you see that app? For demanding access. I'll have to have a look. I'll read it out. You can defend yourself in public.
We have the latest comments page. Is on latest comments?
I'll read it out. He's giving you a fair roasting, a poking with a stick.
That's all right. We like all attention. Yeah. Mostly.
Oh, no, that's annoying. How do I get back to it now?
Is it on the latest comments page?
It was, but it's all Napoleon Wilson's recent blog comments now.
Oh, yeah, he puts a few hundred messages per day.
Yeah. So I'll see if I can find you just talk amongst yourselves, and I'll find it.
Yeah. You don't want to read all of Napoleon's messages?
If you want me to, that's fine.
I
think we might use up so much NASA tape, though, we might have to wipe it all out for the next moon voyage. We might have to wipe out all the telemetry.
Yeah. Napoleon, do you listen to IPS? Because he talks about your favorite subjects like Kubrick all the time. He was talking about Kubrick today and yesterday about 9/11. He thinks Kubrick did the 9/11 movie.
Yeah, I'm feeding into that.
Dante says, at Fakeologist, as a long-time researcher and interviewer of researchers, why not just go to JLB's site and look at the membership options? Also, you didn't specifically ask about listening to the latest Marcus interview. But last and most
important, I thought I did.
Your perennial fixation on paying for access, be it JLB, comma, elsewhere, is getting weird. In the business that fills your fridge and pays for bog rolls at the house to deal with the food cleanup, do your shipping customers buy you a cup of coffee? Or do you advocate value for value model, as in they can just throw $5 at you and you'll cart their crap from one end of Canada to another? It's getting silly at this point.
Yeah, I actually read that yesterday on yesterday's audio.
I take that.
Yeah. Oh, Dante's a good guy.
Hey, Dante, if you want to call in, we'll definitely take that caller inners for that.
Yeah. I can see how it's tiring, but I did ask quite specifically. I wanted to listen to the latest Marcus call. And I was sort of advocating on your behalf too, Frank, because I figure you like to listen. And I wanted to know if we could sample JLB's wares a la carte.
A la carte. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted one sample, but and I did say it many times. JLB wouldn't answer.
You know what I think we should do, Ab?
Go look your site. Yeah.
I think we should run a GoFundMe campaign for you so that you can listen to other people's sites and pay them.
I have enough money. No one has to send me money for that. I I just don't really want to join a whole site for $400. I don't want to spend $400 to listen to Marcus.
Nah.
Sorry, I'm just not. I'm not
He's got.
I'll spend a couple bucks. And I said to JLB, he asked how much would I pay for my audios. I said I would pay maybe a dollar for each one at the most, or maybe up to $20 a month. But I would just do it when I felt like it. I don't want to just be locked. I don't want to be locked in the $20 a month. But I'll pay it when I feel like it.
So my only problem is I don't think any of these other sites are as good as this site anyway. So that's my problem.
Yes, Frank, you just hit the nail on the head, 100%.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of the other sites are me too, guys. I reckon they listen to what goes on here and then move on from there, you know?
Oh, look, I put on occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally, really good information. And I've never been anyone contacted me apart from I get a few people say, no, I don't want compensation, but I suspect there's a lot of people out there that just listen to fakeholders.com and get free upgrades into what's really going down and what people.
You guys seem genuine to me. I don't know you at all, really. I mean, sorry, I've met you, Rick, but I haven't. But as far as I can work out, people are, you know, relatively genuine here. We're just saying what we think. You know, the only agenda we've got is to live a long time, if possible.
Yeah.
But
yes.
But and try and avoid the stupid stuff. I mean, that's all. And I think people accept the fact that we're quite approachable to talk to and ring.
Yes.
Which I think is a bonus.
Yes, we are. We can be emailed, we can be phoned. What the heck more can we do? I mean, we can come to your house.
Yeah, and we're not asking for any cash for any our comments.
No.
Or to go behind a paywall. And I'll back up fakeholders.com 100%. I've been on here for 7 or 8 years. And I've said I want to say out of the top of my head. I've paid nothing yet. I know for a fact there's a number of people that I know that have joined up and paid money, including members of my own family and my barista, because they trust what I tell them. And I give them the advice. This is a show to listen to. IPS has got value for value. Look, I haven't paid them a cent, but I know Moon Harvest probably does.
Yeah.
JohnLeBond.com has got people that I've, you know, I know. There's another one, well, same guy. He's a member of the site. He's got a guy that's quite happy to get his information from his paywall. He puts money to fakeologists as well. And
yes,
that's fantastic.
What I don't know, Ab, is how you get the time to put. I mean, you are doing a Herculean amount of hours talking to people every week. Herculean.
I am.
Yeah, but you're good stuff. You're getting.
If I was at home, I wouldn't have time. But I'm solo on the road, so many hours. I'm just trying to make good use of that time. That's all I'm doing. Because when you're driving, you're not talking.
That's very impressive.
If I was at home, you wouldn't hear any of this. If I had a regular job, I wouldn't be doing any of this.
Well, your job's a regular job. There's lots of truck drivers.
Yeah, but it's a very solo, lonely job. You don't interact because you're always driving. I interact with people on the road, but I can't talk to them. I wish I could.
I just enjoy it.
But thank you, Frank.
To be able to hear free conversation, free whatever. You don't have to put money into fakeholders.com, but you're going to hear people that have, like myself, that, you know, doing the most menial work you can possibly do. But I enjoy doing it because I'm able to interact with other people. If I
have only ended up in this position through just good luck, really, because normally I would have to be a mining engineer. And yeah. There is no chance that I would have time, but my life is quite different now, just through good luck.
Well, I think we've all kind of found everybody via what you would call
serendipity.
Synchronicities.
Serendipity
is a lovely, fantastic word. I like serendipity. Actually, I prefer serendipity over synchronicity. So serendipity, we've all found each other. We're putting on some fairly good information. And I'm not making any money out of anything I say, but I don't want to make any money out of, I believe truth is free. Truth is free. But luckily there are people that I've advised to listen to this show and they have put money into it, which is good.
Well, you know, if nothing else, we work. Yeah, but what Ab does in putting up the FACO tube, I mean, that's astonishing. That is astonishing, that site. You know, and I hope
almost 7,000 very, videos. Very wealthy.
I hope one day it makes you very, very wealthy.
Well, I think it could.
But they're not my videos, though.
Yes, but the website, they're not YouTube's videos either, are they?
Collating.
They're not YouTube's videos.
No.
They're everyone's, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's...
That was good.
Oh, great. Amazing.
I appreciate that. I was going to send you an epic coin, Frank, for your work, but I don't have an address book anymore. The Epic Pay app seemed to have dropped their address book, or I can't find it anymore, so I have to get your address.
It's all right, Ab. I've got plenty of Epic coins at the moment. I think I've got 50 of them or something. Some crazy number.
Send one to my son. He'll get one of his other friends to join up.
But you know, if I
needed
do
the address,
if I do that, and Epic Coin goes to $90 million, I'll be saying, "Why did I give your son $90 million? What about my greed?
What about my greed?
Because he needs it more than you. He's starting out. Then he can afford a house in Australia. By then, it'll be $90 million for a house. Yeah.
If I were a rich man,
that's Topol, admitted Israeli spy, be told.
And do you believe that? Do you reckon there are any actual spies anymore?
Yes, I would say so, yeah. I would say so. And Topol was going in and out of countries and let's look up the story about Topol, the Israeli spy.
Every time I play this part, you know, I get something new out of it. It is such an amazing part. He did the same job for all of my life.
He played the same role.
Night after night for my entire life. And I am not a young man. So he must have started this as an old man when he was 17, as far as I can work out.
Probably. He was probably an early recruit into the military or whatever he was. But he played Reb Tevye. And how I know that is my father played Mottl in the production. My father and my brother both did musicals and both sang on stage big time.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And
yeah.
Fiddler on the Roof was one of the hugest musicals back in the day. Whenever a small company would put that on, and you had to pay royalties to whoever wrote it.
We had to pay, because I did a lot of amateur theatre 20 years ago. We had to pay a fortune for those shows.
Huge money. Yeah. Yeah. And my brother and father were both very musical and both sang on stage. My father played Mottl in Fiddler on the Roof in 1974. We went to see him. I can clearly remember the concert. We probably saw it a couple of times. I didn't get that gene though, Frank. I have no desire to stand on a stage and have people listening to my voice.
Yeah, but you've got it now, though, haven't you? You've got a huge audience, millions of people listening to the Fakeologist audio.
Hey, I would say to be honest, Frank, I would say there are thousands of people listening to our stuff. Because yeah, I found it.
I reckon there'll be 1,000 KGB agents alone.
if the KGB exists.
I haven't actually added up those words and numbers yet, but KGB would probably add up to 33, I would guess.
You reckon it's 33?
It's just K11G7. Okay, K11G7, that's 18. B,
2.
19. There you go.
19, okay.
Over 19. I'm probably wrong. But either way,
you know that when you're on radio that you become infallible. You know that, Rick. The magic of being on radio suddenly makes you much more believable and plausible.
Through some magic effect. Yeah. Well, there's a there. Sure.
You can find a gematria to make it work. So Russian gematria, it'll work.
After the break.
That's how it works.
Hi, this is John French.
This is Mizum.
Joe from Atlanta.
Joe Mama.
Gaia.
I'm Buck Cherry.
It's me.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
And you're listening to Rick, Frank, and Ab on the 27th of August, 2023. Being interesting.
Now, I have to give a shout out to Fast Value. I have to give a shout out to Fast Value because in the in our show that we did, Ab and Greg rang in and we talked about, you know, I said that Christ came to divide us all, not to be a happy clappy guy, and Fast Value found an article saying just that and sent put it in the in the Discord chat. Appreciate that, Fast Value.
I should put it in the comments in the blog so it doesn't get lost. Hey, it looks like we have five live people listening at fake11.com/radio2.
I tell you what,
one from Brighton East. Yeah.
It's better to have live people than dead ones.
Yeah, we got one from Brighton East Australia. Where's Brighton East Australia?
That is very near. Well, that's a suburb of Melbourne. It's a well-to-do suburb of Melbourne.
It's probably Thomas Joe.
Actually, it's normally pronounced Brighton. Brighton.
Brighton. It's probably Thomas Joe is in that area.
No, Thomas Joe is in Altoona.
Oh, okay.
Oh. We got one from Eastbourne, E2, United Kingdom.
Yeah, Eastbourne's near...
I don't know what E2 means.
It'll be something to do with London, the greatest city of London, E2.
Eastbourne is near Brighton in England.
Well, it could be Critical Sinker. Critical Sinker, who's removed himself from the Discord.
He is actually in Italy he's touring in Italy at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I think he was near
where his wife is from.
Yeah.
Well, he was in Brighton. He was living in Brighton.
Time. Where he's camping.
He was in Brighton. Very beautiful. I wish I could afford to go for a holiday in Europe.
If I were a rich man, yaddle diddle 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 dum. All day long,
even if you can't afford it, you should just go if you want to go.
I'd go now, Rick.
You'd think so, but look, my youngest son is in his critical years of high school, and so I can't leave my situation. And he hasn't got his driver's license yet, but it's on the way. Well, that's what you got to do when, as you know, that when you're a parent, you have to be responsible.
Very responsible.
Yeah, of course.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, he needs stability. Stability. And he needs someone to feed him, which I did tonight with a beautiful stir fry. Highly recommend stir fries.
I'm hungry already.
Teenagers.
And one more listener in Carsel Dine, Australia. Where is Carsel Dine? Carsel Dine.
No idea.
But Thomas J says he is listening. So it could be him.
Could be him.
He's described Carsel Dine. Thomas J is saying that the chat is wunderbar.
Nice. It is wunderbar. But I would agree with
Thomas. Thanks for donating, by the way. Thanks for donating.
Hey.
So you don't know where Carsel Dine is? Can you plug it into Google? Because it's probably a tiny suburb somewhere.
Because I'm here to serve. How do you spell it?
C-A-R.
Carsel.
S-T-L-D-I-N-E. Carsel Dine.
Carsel Dine is in Queensland, apparently.
It could be, who do I know that lived?
Where's that?
There used to be.
That's a state, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know who it might be? It might be Emily, who are a dad.
Dead Kelly?
Oh, what happened
dead
to him?
Kelly was in that area.
It could be Emily, or it could be Emily's dad. Oh, that's right. It could be Emily. Dead Kelly, too.
Isn't that a city, dead though, Kelly, or a state? Modern. Queensland, can you narrow it down?
It's like
where is it near?
It's near Brisbane. It's not you know, it's in the hinterland.
Okay. Brisbane. Beautiful area. That's what I was looking for.
Not too far from Toowoomba.
And we have
I take it all back. Oh no, that's
Now what? Is somewhere else?
Where? Philip G. Yeah, Thomas is saying that Emily's dad is Phil G. Yeah.
Phil G. I remember that name.
Yeah.
Okay. How about Edenbridge, G5, United Kingdom? Is that typo error?
It could be typo error.
Could be. Typo is listening.
Or Napoleon, the great Napoleon Wilson. Shout out to the great Napoleon Wilson, one of the oldest of the old crew of fakeologist.com.
Yeah.
Knows his stuff.
So how do I spell the Eden thing? How do I spell Eden thing?
Eden. Eden as in garden and bridge.
It'll be.
Eden Bridge, UK.
What is G5? Is that some kind of area?
Yes, it is. It's a okay. So it is.
Is that like FEMA Region 11?
Okay, it's south of London, halfway to Brighton.
Okay. And lastly, we have Malaga, Australia.
Well, Malaga's in Perth.
Malaga.
Malaga is in Perth.
All right. It's
one of the northern suburbs of Perth. Golden Skidmark, probably, yeah. Who would be a great caller in?
Yeah. He'd have to join the server, probably, unless he could call in 810-666-1984-902-400-1984. Caller in. Call it in.
For nostalgia.
Yeah. He would like Fake Nukes Phil, because Fake Nukes Phil is certain the Jews are behind everything.
Oh, now I have to tell you that Fake Nukes Phil has joined the long list of people that are on the Jimmy Carter's JFK bandwagon. I'm announcing here tonight that the Jimmy Carter JFK horse has bolted, and that it's just so many now. There's Dave J, Fake News Phil.
Lean Dion, guaranteed.
There is at least five or six big names that are on the Jimmy Carter's JFK bandwagon now.
Yeah.
So I just want to announce that regardless of whether it's true or not, that horse has well and truly left the stable.
Yeah, incredible. And COVID is real.
No.
COVID is real.
I am just going to let the listeners know that I am well and truly in the Jimmy Carter as JFK, mostly because Roslyn looks like Jackie and Marilyn.
Roslyn?
Roslyn Carter.
Okay.
So,
well, look, notice that I don't go, you're completely mad and start jumping up and down and never talk to you. Blah, blah, blah,
That's
blah,
right.
blah.
That's right.
Look, there's probably a there, Frank. Yeah, no, but because I'm a realist here, it's quite likely he may well be. And this is not an old, this is not a new thing that Jimmy Carter was playing. This is.
I wonder when that started, though, because I.
Probably in the
Dallas Goldbug. Dallas Goldbug started it.
Yeah, Dallas Goldbug. Yeah, you're right, Frank.
But, you know, I think somehow this is Dallas the topic Goldbug
that's got, this is the topic
was
that got
discrediting his own work.
Well, he was saying that the other people were taking it over his site and, you know, pretending to be him.
Did you see, allegedly, he got arrested? What?
Yeah,
someone put a link that he got arrested.
Yeah. That was, the guy that I keep thinking is Marcus Allen. Grand Illusion.
Grand Illusion. Yeah, I thought he was too, until I talked to Grand Illusion. There's
but
no,
he must have used, he must have used a voice morpher. I'm not going to let that.
Well, Grand Illusion, call in, morph away.
Call in.
Get your voice morpher and call in. I think you know Marcus Allen's voice
if you heard it. He's got a very
The guy
very
that I keep saying is Marcus Allen for sure is Calcified Lies, and he gets really cross with me when I say that.
I know who you're talking about, but
Steve, I don't know. No, his name is Steve, and he doesn't like fakeologists, but yeah, Marcus doesn't either, so I guess it's the same. Marcus is always cross with us.
Yeah.
He is. He's a very difficult. Yeah. But I really enjoyed his input on anything, basically, because he's got a really good. He's got the air for.
I enjoyed those shows with Tiago and so on. They were great. They were
I like Tiago too.
Isn't it funny?
We need
he's
a new
completely.
We need a new scam artist. Right,
so is the GoFundMe.
Yeah. Yep. I think we've got obviously we're getting there's certain people that are part of the disinformation that have been on Fakeologists, but there are people that are on there like myself. I'll hold my head up here. You could easily say, yeah, he could be part of a whatever, but I know that I'm not. I know that I'm not because I know who I am. I trust Marcus Allen. I think he's this really smart guy that's got a controversial ear for truth, and he wouldn't have stuck his head up as far as he did if he was a.
But no one knows who he really is, though. In fairness, do we? We don't know who he is, really.
No. But we look. Alex Jones is 100% guaranteed controlled opposition. Marcus Allen, no, he's too controversial. He doesn't say anything that's trying to bring in. Disinformation. He's the things he says and did. He's an individual thinker, like Chris Kendall, individual thinker. Yeah, have their own views. They're not trying.
It's very annoying that the thing with Chris happened. But, you know, because he has been on about the vaccination thing forever, and then just when we really needed him, he was gone.
He went.
That was annoying.
And of course, Marcus Allen spotted it was on Easter. He got stabbed in the side of his left leg
or whatever
body by.
Alan Watt left us to deal with this.
Not only Alan Watt, but Alan Watt's mentor, or the guy, what's his name? The guy that Alan Watt did get a fair bit of stuff out of, it, Canadian protester. He died the year before Alan Watt, almost to
Glenn
the day.
Keeley.
Glenn Keeley, yeah. And so, yeah, so,
we lost a few of the big anti-vaxxers at the time, didn't we?
But just exactly when they should have gone.
And didn't the doctor go at the same time as well? When did the doctor go? The autism guy.
Indian
Dr. Andrew Molden?
Yeah.
Molden, yep.
No,
when did he go?
I think that was a long time ago.
Oh, was it?
That could have been 2010.
I'm going to...
Yeah, he was early on.
I'll Google that.
Yeah. Search that. And the Indian doctor,
what's his name, that died very recently. That was very, very good.
But he was quite...
2015. 2015.
Yeah. That's a long time ago.
So this is always part of there's a thing called, you know, you lose your heroes, whatever it's called. There's a word for it. You lose your heroes at the right time. They all disappear just when you need them.
They abandon us.
Yes, they abandon us.
Have taken better care of his health.
Yeah,
if he really cared.
Yeah. No, I think
Batar, Alan Watt, Glenn Keeley, the whole lot of them all disappeared, and to me, quite mysteriously. But
I agree.
Look, I'm not going to offer any information or views here, but it is strange that Alan, because I remember thinking, if he goes, I'm going to be really upset because he really is, you know, putting out some good information.
And were you
upset? Sure enough, he went, I guess so at the end of the day, because I lived for those, you know, they became 4-hour shows. They were 2 hours or 1 hour before that, but that was part of my regular podcast. And the fact that Keeley, Watt, and a number of others disappeared, so you've got no backup. And it is suspicious that they all went at the same time, but... Who's to know? I mean,
a lot of bands packed up before COVID because they were told you're not going to be making any money.
You're at a certain age
when your voice goes, so you may as well just shut her down. And when you're dead, you're worth way more alive anyway than when you're alive.
Particularly in music and that drummer.
No doubt.
Classic example.
Yeah, you're worth way more. Neil Peart. Now, I don't know if he really boosted Rush's music, but he said he was in pain doing his job anyway. So you may as well just pack it in. Drumming is extremely physical, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Particularly at the level he was drumming. Great drummer. Yeah.
But he figured, I can't tour for 3 years. I'll be this age. I'll be even more sore.
And we had David Bowie. We had Lemmy from Motorhead. All these bands, people that were mainstays of the Prince. Your heroes of music all disappeared that year just before COVID came out. A year before, basically. Mysteriously, I would say mysteriously, and people like us that, you know, rely on their music or information from various castles. Glenn Keeley and Alan Watt dying within a year of each—that is strange. You have to admit that, you know, these guys had a huge audience, and they both went. whether mysteriously or just coincidentally, just as COVID went into its nth in 2020, we lost them. And so you've lost your heroes. You're basically swimming around in a swamp. You haven't got the people.
Well, maybe they gave us enough material to work with. I
think so. I think so for sure. Absolutely. It would be fantastic to have them all back again right now. And Chris Kendall, a classic example. I mean, his death to me was completely mysterious. But
do you think they'll be talking about us when we go, Rick, years later? Mm. Or will we just...
Well, anyone that's into research, if any of us disappeared, should be very concerned. Because I know... I'm doing what I do for nothing. I'm not making any money out of anything. And it's
will you be worth more dead than alive? Will your children reap a windfall?
No. I don't know. That's interesting conversation, but I would just hope they follow their father's.
Do you have a large life insurance policy?
I used to, but I don't. Not anymore. Not anymore.
I've basically bailed out of insurance.
Yeah, good move. You're looking.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm DB User from Tokyo, and you're listening to Fakeologist Audio on Fakeologist.com.
There you go.
I think he wanted to do a bumper for the longest time.
Mm.
Or maybe it was somebody else.
I think DB User was an ex JLB member. I would
guess. Yeah, he disappeared as well, hasn't he?
Well, he was on within the last few months.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so.
He's pretty good, though. I remember him. He was good stuff.
Is that a British accent?
Yeah, I would say.
Possibly. Yeah. Yep. Anyway,
he's a good guy.
I better go because I have to get up at some ridiculous
hour tomorrow. The crack of
crazy? Not that quite, but I have to go and get up and whatever the time is. Take one of my children to school so we can follow his dreams. Even though I would say my views on education are valid, that you're better off reading your own books and watching TikTok than going to school. You probably get more education from TikTok, and that's actually a valid thing.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, you learn more from TikTok,
I think it is a total waste of time to go to school now. In fact, it's detrimental.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, Frank.
Wasting your time. Get a job.
Yeah. Yeah. Get a job and get a skill. Get an
apprenticeship.
Get a skill. Yeah. Apprenticeship.
I think you should become a coroner. You make a lot of money, or funeral home business.
Coroner, yeah.
You're never going to run out of customers.
Get into
working in a funeral home, which, to be honest, I think is actually a really valid thing of the future. Work in a funeral home. Making people.
I just went to a funeral and there was a young woman was standing by the grave, working for the funeral home. She was there to, I guess, orchestrate the scene, like a wedding planner, a funeral planner. She was there. She was sad when the speech went sad, and she was doing everything right. Very lovely young woman, dressed in black, working for the home.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. I should become
business.
I think so, and why wouldn't I go?
And I have to say, I have looked up a few. Funeral, death-related investments, and I have invested in a few.
Have you?
There's a few large. Oh, yeah. There's Service Corp, Service Corps, which I think has, I can't remember what they do. There's Hillebrand that makes coffins.
Yeah. There's a company, one of the big American military companies, like BlackRock or, Blackwater. It's called Dyn Corp.
Yeah.
Dyn Corp. And that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they name their name very, very Dyn, going into countries and running mercenary operations. Dyn Corp is a thing for sure. So if you want to invest into a good future, yeah, get involved with the death industry. Because I, like Frank, sadly, am a conspiracy theorist, and I think there's more people dying than being born, certainly over here.
Yeah.
The only reason our population is going up is
I think Service Corp might be one of those. The funeral home industry, like every other business, is moving from mom and pop to large corporations. So I think they buy up mom and pop operations and put it under their corporate umbrella. Because the thing is, these big corporations have access to the capital. Big time.
Yeah.
And all these small companies, their biggest enemy is cash flow problems. So when things get tough and their cash flow dries up, they can go tits up in 2 weeks. But if they're part of a big corporation that has access to tons of capital, it can help carry them through the slow times. So it's all about money now. Yeah, so this company just buys up small funeral homes that are in distress.
And takes them over. Yeah. Anyway, guys, I'm going to go. Always a pleasure. And Frank, wonderful to hear your dulcet tones and
thank you, Rick.
As usual.
Well, thank you for the invite.
Thank you, Rick, at fakeologist.com. Rick,
I shall also bail out. And yes, I will. But thank you very much for the cathartic.
Thank you all.
Expression.
Yeah, it was good. We'll see you on Thursday, Frank. Are you back? Oh, yeah, you went to a funeral Thursday. How was that, by the way?
It was great. Yeah, very satisfying service. Very lovely woman. She was 90 when she passed.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I don't think the jabs didn't contribute.
Accelerated her demise?
Yeah. But the service was really great.
If you were 90 or in your 90s, would you take the clot shot? Would it be a problem?
Well, what is the point? You're talking about me. If you're talking about me, I can't see how I wouldn't take it. Why? Where is the benefit?
Yeah, I get it.
You know, the issue is always about quality of life.
If you were ready to cross to the other side, though, and that might accelerate it.
No, I think it'd be painful. I just think it's painful. You know, a lot of these things are painful. This thing is you know, I think a natural death, the Heavenly Father shows mercy to us. You know, you don't feel it, really. I don't think a natural death is painful.
All right. That's good.
So that's so there's something controversial to say. I'd be interested in the feedback of other people.
Yeah.
Listening to the show.
Well, we do accept feedback. We do read feedback, as do
Red. We certainly do.
We don't mind. So we do, anyone can go to the blog and make a comment, and I'm going to make sure I get the show notes that Frank graciously posted, and maybe I'll listen to Jay Dyer next, see what he's got to say.
And I think you'll enjoy the Probably Alexandra audio to video as well. She is an excellent speaker and puts the case in the history of the evolution thing very, very well, really succinctly.
Are you still listening to that John guy, John Campbell, Dr. John Campbell?
No.
Or the Richard guy?
Richard Vobes I still listen to. But Dr. John, I think he's done his bit. I mean, really, as we talked about, he now is, you know, sort of being an anti this particular jab, but pro all the other jabs. And, you know, as Rachel pointed out, where was he when it was really counted? Yeah.
Yeah, I got to look up Vernon Coleman, see if he's still talking.
Yeah, I had him on my feed, and that's disappeared. I wonder if he's still around, because he's not a baby, is he?
No. He's been doing this for 50 years, though. He's been speaking out. This is fun watching videos when he was really much younger. He had hair. Yeah, I'm going to look him up, too. I keep forgetting, because he doesn't come into the podcast. He has his own website, which is good, but I don't get a feed of him either, so I forget about people without a feed.
Right.
I need a feed.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, good
all
chat
right, well, thank
you
again
best.
For your tremendous efforts, Tim.
Thank you.
I'm astonished thank by you, your Frank. Ability to work, I must say. Tremendous work ethic.
It's an illness. No, you work hard too. You came out of retirement to go back to the salt mine, so you're of similar ilk, I would say.
Hmm. But you know, I don't try and run a website and the way you are doing. It's been I just find it staggering.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think I have a slight ability to organize a bunch of disparate sites and get help and put it all together into one mishmash, and it does. It's fun to do.
And the guests you're getting are great. Did you get that fellow from South Africa to turn up?
No, we just kept going back and forth, and I'll try again later. He does a lot of interviews, and I do enjoy the geopolitics as well. And I'll get him eventually. He's a Sunday only guy, Sunday midday. So when the days get colder and darker, I'll be more interested in taking a Sunday and talking to him. But it would have to be Sunday afternoon here, because that's Sunday night for him. And I think that's the only time you can talk to someone in that time zone.
Right.
I think. I do still listen to his show. He's got really good guests.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And he does a very tight video.
I think it's worthwhile putting a link in.
Very good guy.
Worthwhile putting a link in the show notes. For the listeners of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it. If you can.
No, I don't know what it is. I'm hoping you can do it at some later stage.
I'll do it. Germ warfare. And I'm going to look for what you posted too. The Theory of Evolution, probably Alexander. I'll watch that next.
All right. Buenas noches.
Okay. All right. Take care. All the best.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
This is Waterman Chris.
Nadir Lissette.
I'm Roland.
Uninstall Media.
Zach Cubbard.
Don Tossel.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
The
in life for free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Now recording.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, I'm Northern Tracy, speaking from Ireland, and you're listening to Fakeologist Audio on Fakeologist.com. What a mouthful.
Now recording.
I wouldn't drag you. Is the Fakeologist here? I've got Forrest Value, who's often here at this time. Chat? Are you there, Forrest? Oh, there he is. Hello, Forrest Value. Good morning.
Morning.
We're just talking about automation. Actually, I was just listening to, what's her name?
Let's see.
Frank turned me on to probably Alexandra. Fantastic YouTuber slash, well, she's everywhere. And, yeah, some really good talk, really good concept. She's sort of she was going into evolutionism and how it's an extension of mysticism, nothing to do with science.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah. Good. Yeah, I never, she really summarized it well. So thank you, Frank. I love finding new content creators. That's my favorite part of this research.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, yeah, it's good to, I'll bookmark that. Probably Alexandra.
Yeah, I put her latest video on FakeoTube. So you can find her channel through FakeoTube because I always source my videos. So once you go to FakeoTube, you can check it out. And
I want to
she's everywhere.
Plug in here a recommendation. I'm sad to say I haven't finished it. I need to find a better copy. This was recommended by Delete the Elite. I don't know if you remember him.
Who's on I know him. He used to be on the server for a while. Yep. He's from Sweden.
Yes. And he recommended a book called The Rise of the Scientific Dictatorship. And, it was kind of the history of scientism, more or less. But there were some really good quotes from this lady called Linda de Hoyos, H-O-Y-A-S, I believe. O-S. Anyway, she had a very logical sort of, what would you call it? Look, using pure logic about the idea of evolution removed from any sort of religion or scientific. And the point that she made was that without some sort of destination or endpoint, there's no reason for anything to evolve. She used like the idea of shape. So something is shaped square to begin with, and then it's impacted upon by some force, some flying stellar debris or whatever that, you know, causes it to change shape. And it might change into a circle, but she's like, why was it a square to begin with? And who set what size and shape it would have? And then if it impacts and changes the shape through whatever they call evolution, why does that go somewhere that like is better or more adaptable? Like, it's really, if you really start to analyze it, there's no direction. There's no, what do they call it? Like the cosmic billiard ball that starts the whole pool table rolling with the Big Bang, and everything sort of spreads out and then starts evolving. But there's no endpoint. So there's no reason for anything to evolve in a particular way unless there's some sort of design behind it. I can't dispute it. I can't, this idea of random, because really that's our choices. It's either created or random. I don't know. Maybe you could suggest a third choice. I don't know of one. And so to me, I think the idea of random evolution is just a non-starter.
Well, yeah, I'm not really partial to religion in any way. But if you present me the dialectic, I'll choose God before I choose random. So it almost drives people to God when you get the mystic evolution theory of just slime randomly coming together, creating better slime, and then that slime turns into a human after a million different iterations of that. Betterment.
And yeah, and they sprinkle the magic dust of time, you know, billions of years and more billions of years. Just the,
it's funny, in the last video, probably Alexandra, who does she use to finish off her argument? The mythical Jeffrey Dahmer. Where he said before he was an evolutionist. And that's how you know it's the powers that be that made the Jeffrey Dahmer story. Because how could somebody so crude be so philosophical? You know, they think, oh, this crude guy that just chopped up bodies suddenly became this very philosophical intellectual in jail. And he said, well, because we came from slime, there was really no purpose, and there was no judgment in the end. That's how I came to Jesus Christ, because that made more sense. And, of course, he was broomed to death in jail, just like Gaddafi was. Was raped by a broomstick. What is the significance of the broomstick or the broom in these religions, mystery religions? It's sort of a theme.
Well, we have, we're coming up on Halloween, and I'm really disappointed to say that I have neighbors that have already started throwing up decorations. It's a little bit early in my mind, but, we have witches on brooms flying around during Halloween. And I recall that sequence in the movie Fantasia. Do you remember that?
I never watched.
Yeah, no. It's a great movie. It's still Disney, but you know, it's like animation.
Oh, maybe I did watch it.
But there's a scene in there with a bunch of. It's kind of. It's sort of a fairy tale. I want to. It's maybe based on Cinderella or something that somebody summons some sort of magical force in the castle, and like all the. Like brooms and things, inanimate objects become animate and start wreaking havoc.
Oh, yeah, I seen it. I love the broom
anyway,
sequence.
There's brooms in there.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of brooms, I think. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
There's a mama broom and a baby broom.
So we got all this broom stuff floating around for whatever reason. There's something there, I guess.
There's a there, and Rick. Rick, take all this.
You mentioned Jeffrey Dahmer, and I'm going to put this out there now on the, since we're on the recording. I want to say it was a user on one of these channels. I'm hoping they'll be listening because I'm pretty sure it was in these groups that I heard this. Somebody knew someone that knew someone that had a cousin that was killed by Jeffrey Dahmer or something.
They knew someone's cousin's dry cleaner.
Well, it wasn't quite that far removed. Seriously, it wasn't quite that far removed. And the story sounded like, well, this could actually be a real thing. They seem pretty closely connected. Now, I'm not saying that there's any reality behind it at all, but the story I heard sounded like there could have been a real person involved in that psyop. And, I mean, we've discussed
the police invent serial killers to wrap up cases that they can't solve. Don't forget, most murders are done by people that know each other, but the other ones are almost unsolvable.
Right. Some guy driving through town and pulls into a convenience store and knifes somebody and gets in his car and keeps going. Yeah, they're never going to catch that guy. It's crazy.
Never. So they might invent a serial killer to wrap up those cases. So maybe that person did have someone they know that was murdered, and then they were told later it was Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, I'm just hoping if anybody is listening that does remember having that conversation, send me a ping just to refresh me. Because I did kind of wonder about that.
What's your email? Because not everyone's on Discord.
Oh, I'm not going to give you that on live stream.
You want a fakeologist email?
Never mind. I do have farcevalue@gmail.com. It's fine. I don't think you'd have to be too particularly creative to guess that email, so.
What is your email?
farcevalue@gmail.com.
You're the farce value at Gmail? There's no other?
Not the. No. Of course not.
Well, usually.
I'm a singular mind.
No, I'm just saying that usually someone else probably gets these names. You have to be farce value 32 or something.
No, nobody came up with that before me, at least in the Gmail.
farcevalue@gmail.com. There you go. Send him an email. That's pretty easy.
Let's see. I might get besieged with hotties.
I don't know why. Why are people paranoid
with
about
lots
giving
of cleavage.
Out their? Why are people paranoid about giving out their email address? What can one do with an email address?
I was talking about this yesterday on the call, and I'll give you something, and I don't know what it is, but we sold a car yesterday morning. Thank goodness. We've got replacement vehicles, and we didn't have to trade ours in right away. Thought we could get better deals on the market. And so we sold one, and then I listed them both on Facebook Marketplace on the recommendation.
I know. That's where everyone is. Yeah,
I got a lot of activity the first day or two, but then it went totally dark after the first 2 days. I don't know what I have to do to revamp. Anyway, the point being, within hours after I posted them, I got scam requests from Facebook by these people that wanted my phone number so they could send me a text with pages that they had created like that day within a couple of hours. And I was thinking to myself, like, what's a scam here? They have my Facebook profile, I guess, because my name is on there. So if they get my phone number and my Facebook profile, then they can do something. I don't know what. But, yeah.
Take your identity. Simulate your identity.
I guess. Is it that easy?
Well, email is pretty anonymous, so you can send me an email, ima@fakeologist.com, and you can spread my email. I put it on my website, so it's clickable. I don't know why. I have lots of spam and filters on my email, so if I get signed up to junk mail, it's not a big deal. I can just filter it out. My filters are extremely robust. You can send me an email.
I'll see how it happens. Maybe somebody will hear this and they'll remember if my memory is correct. But I did find that interesting when I heard that. But yeah, it is funny that he was Dharmer was an evolution of this evolutionist
at the beginning. Darwin. That's why he was killing people, because there was no consequence to his actions.
There's a lot of messaging in that if you think about it. For you know, from a media perspective, from an agenda perspective. I mean, it's almost. I don't know if you remember. I always got a kick out of this. I don't know if Saturday Night Live did a skit about it when H.W. Bush in the 80s was warning about the dangers of crack. And there was this crack epidemic and, you know, whatever. And so he's like, this stuff is almost instantly addictive. It's so powerful and pleasurable that from the first time...
After the break, not Rollo.
Hi, I'm Baby.
Something tried.
This is Lost Fighter Phallus.
I'm Nightly News, Frank McManus.
Adam Miller.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Yeah,
anyway, so he goes on. It's instantly addictive. It's so powerful that the pleasure is so compelling that the first time you'll be hooked. It's cheap and affordable, and it's widely available. You can find it on almost any street corner of the city. And then he holds up a big, giant bag of rocks. And I'm like, this is a commercial. He's just promoting it. It might as well be, you know, Ronco or whatever, ShamWow. I just thought that was hilarious. From the Oval Office, no less.
He was holding up a bag of rocks?
Yeah. You can find the clip. I'll find it. Post it later.
I got to find play that clip. That's great.
It's really funny. And it's all done under the guise of, you know, we're warning you. It's like all the...
Can you play that? Can you play that into the stream? Send me the link and I'll play it.
I'm walking the dog now. My hands aren't free. And my phone's in my pocket. But,
oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's a good one. Now I think you can describe fentanyl the same way, from what I understand. They're saying if you just touch fentanyl, you'll be addicted. That seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I do. I was working with a young gentleman here that just moved back to Oregon, I think. And he had lived in Ohio for a little bit, and he said he had a lot of friends in Ohio that died from overdoses. And the day before he was actually leaving, I kind of helped him move and stuff. We had dinner, and he was a little bit down, and he said he just got a call that another one of his friends up there had died from an overdose. So there, in certain parts of the country, there are people
I met a young guy in his late 30s. He was going to another funeral of someone who was meth or fentanyl or... It's wiping out many people, many younger people. More deadly than COVID, for sure.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, right? Because right now, here in Austin, the temperature says 85, but it's super comfortable and balmy. The sun's not really up too high. Really quiet. I'm walking through the neighborhood with it. I'm like Jeff Berwick with my dog, which is part Chihuahua. And I just look around and like connecting what I'm doing now in this environment, and the way things are, to this dystopian hellscape of a future that a lot of people around here imagine. It's a big, big leap to get from here to there. Like, if you've never looked into any of this stuff, Like, mentally, if you... I don't know what people imagine the future to be like on these channels a lot with the surveillance state and the graphene oxide and the this and the that. And everything. There's a lot of doom and gloom around. I mean, with good reason. But out here in the real world, that's a very slow-moving glacier of a program, I think. I mean, they ramped it up in 2020 for sure, but I just think it's going to take a lot to get people to give up the levels of comforts that they have, and there's a lot of them that have that. It's not a small crowd by any stretch. And, you know, they keep the
mind. Not a small crowd for what?
That are, you know, very attached to their creature comforts and the... are going to be very resistant to, you know, living in a 15-minute city and being locked in a box and not being able to be mobile and have this austere lifestyle and, you know, the type of sort of gulag environment really that I think a lot of people
it's not,
here imagine.
Well, I'm not on the fear side of the 15-minute city at all. It's going to be all that the young people can afford. Right now, none of them can afford real estate, period. And rent is through the roof, too. So it's just going to be the only option they have. And if it's the only option you have, you're not going to be fearful of it. It's going to be a place to stay. And
are you still listening to No Agenda?
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I'm...
I don't know if you caught in one of the more recent episodes where he was talking about in Austin, at least, and I want to look into this since I'm here, that yeah. They're building affordable housing for government employees in downtown Austin because the, you know, the rents and property values are so high.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah. And that's kind of funny because he also said that the federal building in San Francisco, the people are being told that they don't have to come to work because it's so dangerous coming down there.
Well, and that gets back to the automation thing. We're coming back a little circle because I moved to Silicon Valley and for a couple of years in 97 and 98. And this was kind of the beginning of the internet boom. I think I was using Netscape at the time and whatever else was out there. Cisco was really big and, you know, all the tech manufacturers and stuff were out there. But it was super crowded out there at that time and there was traffic. And there was all this talk way back then about telecommuting. There was a big promise that they, yeah. You know, all this traffic is going to go away. And I remember, like, in so many instances, going into some vendor or dealing with some business transaction and triplicate forms and paper. And, like, the electronic, even today, paper is still big. Paper has not gone away by any stretch. It may have put a little dent in it with the digital age. But and the telecommuting no. really didn't have any sort of impact until COVID. And that's, you know, 25 years after the promise. So, you know, that's another example of all the automation taking over. But it's a slow moving beast. It doesn't
happen.
Oh,
yeah. Man, just give suddenly. Me a sec. I got to step out for a sec. Just got to mute for a sec.
All right.
Back.
Yeah. Good. Quick question. Just production. Is Craig Vaught or whatever going to take care of that long pause when you post?
Craig Vaught is actually the backup.
Oh,
but the regular audio definitely does not record silence.
So it'll just snip and merge the two audio sections together where there's signal.
Well, it's not snipping. It just pauses. It pauses the audio.
When the signal's, I got you. Okay. It just stops the record when it goes silent.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if I was whistling or talking to myself, then
that'll record. It'll regret.
Good thing I shut up. No, I wasn't muted, so I don't know if what the gate.
It'll hear all your heavy breathing, though. Maybe.
I don't think I'm breathing that heavily. Anyway, before I'm
all right.
Coming back to my, I'm going to be back in my house in a few minutes, and then I'm going to have to go on about my day. But I did want to mention to you that I watched the Jones Plantation last night.
Go ahead. How was it?
I enjoyed it. It was good. I watched it with Miss Farts.
Oh, nice.
Much more critical. It's so funny because she gets so bent when I criticize all the stuff that she watches, but then she was just relentless. I think they did a good job.
Funny.
And the production there, I have a couple of critiques that I feel like were pretty obvious. I would like question a little bit of this sort of the aesthetics about the production decision to think things were some transitions and sequence things a little bit. I thought Lee Gallman, who is the Quash guy, did a really good job. The movie was centered mainly around him and the Mr. Smith character. I don't know if I remember from the animated short that it turns out he's a black gentleman in the movie, which was a surprise to everybody because he's the consultant that's telling the plantation owners how to get more productivity out of their slaves and whatnot. So he's kind of a real Uncle Tom type character. He was very, very good. And I looked him up afterwards. His name's Maurice Johnson. And of course, like always, when you find someone in a movie you haven't seen before or whatever, he's done like 50 movies.
Always. Big.
And that said, he, like I said, he was really good. His character was like, I thought he nailed it. But I didn't find there to be this huge gap in the acting level between him and Lee Gallman. Could be that part was really well.
Lee is a lawyer.
Yeah, so he's got that, and he does the podcast, and he's obviously comfortable speaking. But I remember hearing Joe Rogan say one time that anybody can act. I don't know why people are so knocked out by these actors. He's like, it's not that hard. I tend to disagree. Knowing some of the things my favorite actors do. It was very. The messaging was very clear. It was very obvious. The trick is still going to be getting the movie in front of normies that have never thought about these sort of things. Like for me, it was all remedial. I've been turning these ideas over in my head for over a decade now. But for somebody that watches this movie and has never given this stuff any thought, it's definitely gonna put some brain splinters in their head, for sure. And it's also
after the break. Rick, not Rolo.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Brain splinters.
It's also another retelling of Plato's allegory of the cave. And I just find that so interesting because that it crops up in so many different ways. I don't know much about it, and I don't know if you can tell me whether that comes out of the Republic, if that's the name of his book or work or whatever, where what the genesis, the origin of the allegory of the cave is. But it's like that story, if our history is to be believed, is anywhere near accurate, and that's thousands of years old, it's just such a loop that repeats over and over and over again. And I wonder if, was Plato, if he existed and if that was written when they said it was he astute enough to recognize this phenomenon of groupthink and manipulation and whatnot? Or was it something that was seeded into the conscious as the way things were going to be? And I want to do a little bit more of a dive into where that came from and how, because it's just so, so familiar, so repetitive, you know? And, we saw it kind of like during COVID and you could probably find tons of examples where the person that comes back to the group and says, "Hey, you guys are being scammed," they become the pariah. And like, people don't want to hear it. It's the uncomfortable truth as opposed to the comfortable lie. And that was in the movie. But I recommend it. I recommend it. Jeff Berwick got top billing as producer. I paid the $20 for, I haven't seen, there's another short video with like kind of some interviews with the actors and maybe some background. Larkin Rose or director, whatever. That's a separate thing.
Berwick was the top producer?
Yeah, I want to say he ponied up $100,000 for it or something. I think I heard the director on the Tom Woods podcast recently. I want to say the budget was $170,000, if I remember correctly, and they shot in like 17 days at a couple of plantations in the South. And, they probably spent months afterward in post adding music and editing and whatnot, because I want to say they wrapped up the shooting about a year ago. But, it was good. I would, I got it to support them. But
yeah,
I recommend
that's it. Very good of you. That's very good. Do you think the animation short is more to the point than stretching it out in a whole feature film?
Absolutely. It was a little bit of a trick to fill out the short into, it was about 90 minutes, I think. There were some very interesting things that were dropped into the movie that sort of, added entertainment value and food for thought and that sort of thing. So I wouldn't say that it was, everything else was totally extraneous, but yeah, the idea is, put across pretty well in the
any sex scenes between owner and slave?
There were actually, to be honest, there were some hints of that. And there were some sort of insertions of like, woke ideology. They talked about, the new normal, and there were some, sex switcher things. They dropped a few current, terms in there. They were modified to fit the time to a degree. But yeah, we knew exactly what they were talking about. And there were a lot of nods to certain things and the current time that were dropped in there that were pretty easy to recognize, at least by me.
Did he leave Plunkett Wash in the movie?
Did he what?
Did he plug the quash?
No, but after the first couple of lines, I found his voice really easy to recognize. Because he has this, there's an idiom in his speech during the quash where he has this real high register that he goes to.
And yeah.
Because it'll never work and that sort of thing. And so, like, he did that a couple of times in the movie. I'm like, oh, that's the quash guy. He recognized it. But most of the time, he sort of didn't really talk like that. So if you're not familiar with the podcast, you might not recognize it right away, but.
I had to stop listening to the quash because he was too repetitive, and he was always threatening to stop if he didn't get support, which got really tiresome.
I think, his level of cynicism is a little bit higher than mine, I guess. I'm just very charitable about people in general. He has, I think, a low tolerance for what we might call the normally. It's funny because I talked to Linda Curtis about this And I specifically messaged her because I wanted her to listen to his last episode where he talked about the idea of, and it didn't have anything to do with law or politics. It was mainly about industrialization and the effect it's having on people and how unnatural it is and whether in the long term, you know, it's going to be viable because for people to sit down and in front of a screen or be in a factory doing repetitive tasks, it's just so antithetical to the way that we're meant to live, moving, getting fresh air, being out in the environment. You know, and we're so divorced from the idea of living off the land, farming, carrying water, chopping wood, whatever. What is that? Tibetan monk phrase, chop wood, carry water. That it's hard to imagine what life would be like in that environment. But, you know, it might be a good exercise mentally just to imagine that it might not be so bad to do that overall for your level of satisfaction and contentment, as you might imagine, I guess. So not that I'm endorsing returning to the hunter-gatherer way or being a Luddite or whatever, but yeah, so it's just something to consider. I found it to be interesting, but yeah, he's not real optimistic about the future, I'll say that. Unless something changes, and that's the whole ticket, you know. So, but yeah, I recommend it. I think just the regular nuts and bolts version of just the movie itself is like $10 or something.
You got the director's cut.
Yeah, like I said, I got a couple of other extras that have some interviews and stuff that I'll watch eventually.
What about Berwick and his two-hour videos now? They're getting pretty long.
Yeah, I did notice the last couple were kind of long. I'm kind of I'm getting a little bit too, you know, I'm feeling the same way about him, I guess, is the quiet. He's pretty repetitive. Yeah. Although he does.
He's a bit of a fearmonger, too. A lot of
fear. Well, that's how he sells his newsletter.
Newsletter.
He's kind of in the Alex Jones model, I guess, to a degree. So, and, you know, to be fair, Alex Jones had some accurate information and some, you know, predictive power behind all the stuff he was saying. Even being what he is, we all know what he is, but it wasn't complete.
But you're right. He spells fear, too. Penalty.
So,
big time fear from Alex.
And then I think what I've started to pay attention to in a lot of this stuff is like just monitoring my emotional state as I listen. And like, if I'm in a pretty good level state of mind and feeling optimistic and I spend an hour listening to Jeff and I kind of feel nervous and not too optimistic afterward, I'm like, maybe I'll give this a break for a while. Because it's nothing's going to, you know, all this, the headlines are just the same. Yeah,
he annoys me. I don't get fearful. I get aggravated by him thinking, why are you doing this? I know I can turn it off, but why are you just, you know, you know that this is all BS.
What are you saying is BS, though? What is it that he says that you think is BS?
Well, he is taking a lot of the stories as real, and then he'll go back and say, well, if it's real, but he'll really promote it as it's presented as something to be afraid of. And I thought, come on, Jeff, you know better. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth and that kind of thing. And the other thing I like about him, the hypocrisy. The other hypocritical thing, not that I like about him, but the other hypocrisy, he's always saying, well, I'll go kill this guy or we'll just take another way. And meanwhile, he's complaining he can't get his daughter out of the country because she can't get a passport. And he's going on and on about that. And then I also get annoyed about his dog because he's chasing after his dog and he leaves his child in the middle of the road. And I'm thinking, put your stupid dog on a leash. There's a reason why people don't like unleashed dogs. It's because dogs are not necessarily predictable.
Yeah.
You know, put your stupid dog on a leash. I don't care if it's small. And I also don't like people that take their animals on planes. I think it's insane that you can check in a dog onto a plane. That's stupid. So I don't, he's bragging about how he brought his stupid pug onto a plane. He just walked on. I don't want a dog on a plane. It's ridiculous. So there's a lot of things that aggravate me about him. Or he said, oh, this lady wouldn't let my dog on the plane because the health, because the health, his health certificate expired. And he said, oh, this lady should have let me on. She's a rule follower. Yeah, she wants to keep her job. She lets you on, you dummy. She's going to get fired. So you really think someone at the front counter is going to risk their dog, her job, for your stupid dog? I don't think so. Let's be logical about things.
Yeah, and he talks about traveling around with his 18-person entourage or whatever, his staff, his cooks, and his limo driver and shoe polisher and what? But wait a minute, and then you can't leave one guy at home to feed the dogs while you travel, so you don't make everybody on the plane.
Yeah, you
crazy.
Gotta bring your dog. You gotta bring your dog to Europe. Are you crazy? That to me is the epitome of excess. And then he was saying he's running out of money. He said that at least three times, three different videos. That he's running low on money, and because obviously all the crypto is down from their highs, and you know every coin he recommended is at very low, down at their bottom. So
it reminds me of George Carlin talking about church and God. God is this all powerful being, the creator. And it can predict the future and do this and whatever. Stop the water, stop the storm, whatever. He just has a little problem managing money. He's not real good with money.
Yeah, you're talking about the guy, the preacher is begging for money.
Yeah, exactly. He can do everything else, just not so good with managing money. He's got a little problem there, so we need you to pony up. All right. Hey, listen, Ab, I got to run. Get a carpe diem, y'all.
Take care.
Enjoy your drive, and we'll talk to you again soon, man. All right.
All right. Semper Fi.
Bye.
That's all, folks.